This is the Toddcast Podcast. I'm a guy named Todd.
And I'm a guy named Aaron. Join in our conversation as we discuss anything
and everything.
Pointless debates.
Music. Star Wars.
Nerd culture.
And so much more. There are no scripts.
No show notes. Commuters, sit back and enjoy the ride.
The Toddcast Podcast starts now. Hello, and welcome to the Toddcast with Eric. It is that time of the year.
It is.
March flippin' madness, my friend.
Yeah.
And I feel like everyone out there would be very disappointed if we did not participate in some level in the March madness. Do you agree?
Agree. This has been an ongoing thing for probably, I mean, it might have been one of my debuts on the podcast as we did one of these.
It's entirely possible. So it's important.
We'll have to have the historian check.
That's right.
Yeah. And the tradition is not only that, through the years, we've also thrown in some other tournaments that are less NCAA affiliated, but just more so, more in the realm of what we like to do. We're completely fine with doing an NCAA bracket and having some ridiculous way and seeing if Todd can actually score favorable points against his office poll. but we took we had a notion, I think early in October of last year, we were brainstorming ideas for the Halloween special. One came across our table, our desk, that we were like, we must absolutely do this at some point in time. And instead of doing the chaos of waiting for the brackets to come out and do all this jazz and figure out and, you know, see where Todd and I are and scramble to put an episode together, we chose to utilize the wonderful idea that we had back in October. And we're just going to do that for March now, because that's really what all you want to hear.
Right. Because let's face it, March Madness, you know, the basketball situation, anyone who's listened for any amount of time knows that I don't really do sports. Like the whole bracket is just me looking at team names. And I mean, prior to us doing this on the Toddcast, the way I would fill out the bracket when they would, you know, pass them out at work, because why else would I do a bracket, is it would be one of two things. I would look at the two teams and whoever had the better record moved on, just across the board, unless there was a tie, in which case I would go with whoever had the funnier name. What is it? Gonzaga, whatever college they always played very favorably in my brackets, just because that's a fun thing to say.
Right.
So there's not really a lot of sportsness happening in my brain. So really, it's more about us doing a fun bracket than anything that has to do with the actual sport of basketball. So in keeping with that, yeah, we were brainstorming fun things. And I honestly wish I could remember how exactly we came up with this, or which of us birthed this delightful brain baby.
Well, I mean,
Eric, do you want to share the concept here?
Sure. Yeah. I think ultimately we were talking about it's Halloween time. So we're trying to figure out. And if you guys listen to the archives, we ended up doing like characters, like monsters and general characters, I think. Right. Horror movie characters and stuff like that. But we threw out the whole thing of like heavy rock bands, or like, wouldn't say satanic bands, but like the Ozzy Osbournes of the world that were like terrifying mothers, Pentecostal mothers in the 80s and 90s and so forth. And we just went through, and for some reason it came out that it would be really fun to figure out who the hardest, most satanic soft rock group would be. So essentially all the lovely, easy listening soft rockers, like who out of that group is the most hardcore, you know, which one is most respected in that circles? Like, you know, who would Guar want to go hang out with for a drink, or, you know, party with? So that is where the idea was born. And of course, this is, you know, something I'm all about, because the soft rock is kind of my jam.
Yes.
As those who've listened to the far, far archives of Music Ranked realize, like the high ranking of Journey and 80s Chicago and Peter Cetera, right? This is what I do. This is my listening. So that's what we've thrown together. We've thrown together the top 64 soft rock groups, found several decent blogs on the internet. Then Todd and I went through and made sure we replaced anyone that we thought should be on the list, created, a top 64, threw it into a bracket. We now have a soft rock bracket. And then, of course, we, instead of just, you know, mean, how do you gauge this, you know, in this tournament? Or, you know, so we created the pretty much the standards, the rounds. Each round will have a stipulation.
Well, I think when we did the last actual basketball one, we did the D&D themed, and each round had a different sort of criteria and theme. I think that worked out way better, and I kind of felt it was more interesting, at least, to talk about, with there being different criteria than it being the same thing grinding through, you know, 64 down to 16 down to like, I think that works out well. So
yeah,
I'm pretty stoked for this.
And we did the same for the Halloween episode where they had to go through different. So it's almost the same stages. You know, I don't know how many stages are there. There might be seven stages of hell or what we want to call it. But either way, we're pretty good. So without further ado, I think we can get right into it.
Let's do this.
Todd? All right.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan, indeed. So Todd and I discussed that I think the easiest thing to do is just straight up go, who is the softest? In terms of, like, let's just make sure that we get it down to the top 32 softest groups. You know, if you're relatively hard, you probably shouldn't be on this list. So that's where it's going to come down to. Any other notion of that stipulation, Todd?
No, I 100% agree. I mean, it's real easy to say that you're, you know, with Satan if you're, you know, Marilyn fucking Manson.
Yeah.
So the harder you are, the easier it is to, we want the softest of the soft.
Correct. So there will be some really good names, I think, thrown out in this first round. So there will be some upsets, but that's because we're looking for the softest of the soft. All right, Todd. So with number one, we're looking at Paul Simon versus the Boston of the 80s. So not the first record that you've heard, but the second, the third, and the fourth. So that's
the Boston
an easy one.
No one's heard. That's for me, that's Paul Simon.
Absolutely, Boston rocks a little too hard.
That's
right. Now, so second would be Sade versus the Beach Boys. And Beach Boys are kind of deemed for their later work.
Yes.
Listen, I don't know much about Sade, and that's my and that might be a problem of mine. And with that being said, I would prefer to go with the Beach Boys. I know their later stuff.
I'm only familiar with, I think, one or two Sade songs. And while they are very soft, I don't know. For all I know, she goes all punk rock on her second album. I don't know.
Beach Boys goes forward. All right. So this one's a tough one for me. It's Toto versus K.D. Lang. So here's the deal. They're not hard by any means.
No.
But I could see them being harder than K.D. Lang, because K.D. Lang sings what? Is it a one-hit wonder?
Again, I'm familiar with one of her songs. I mean, I would say potentially the hardship in having her advance would be that she skews a little more towards country, whereas Toto definitely skews rock.
Toto, you're going through.
Okay.
Say no more. All right, so here's Jackson Browne versus Chris Isaac. And, I mean, as you can tell, some of these, we have, you know, Chris Isaac has, like, one song that I know of.
Same.
So once again, let's go with Jackson Browne. I can tell you some Jackson Browne. Bread versus Atlanta Rhythm Section. And for me, it's a no-brainer, because Bread is kind of what this list is all about for me.
All right. I can go with that. I'm trying to think of what the Atlanta Rhythm Section does song wise.
I think they do one song from the Guardians soundtrack.
Okay. Okay. No, that's fair.
Supertramp versus Peter Gabriel.
Ooh.
I think it would be Supertramp. I could see Peter Gabriel getting a little more poppy than, this is the closest one so far.
This is a close one, because Supertramp, I mean, they're not, you know, there's not going to be a mosh pit there, but I think they've got a full band, and they can definitely kick the rock. I would tend to go Peter Gabriel as softer.
I'm not going to argue with you on that one, all because it's too close to call. Because I mean, I think they both could be, but both are kind of proggy in a sense.
Yeah, that's the thing. The tricky with the progness happening there.
Now this isn't going to be my favorite, but I feel that unfortunately the Doobie Brothers might fall to Enya. Doobie Brothers can rock. You know, they're like a classic rock group. So do you think Enya moves forward?
Oh, Enya takes the crown on this particular round.
All right, so here's probably one of the tougher ones, and it's because the original listing did not have Simon and Garfunkel on the list. So I put them on the list, but they were low seated because they weren't listed. So it's Simon and Garfunkel versus Carly Simon.
Oh boy,
lots of Simon in this.
Yeah, well, we already have. Yeah, I think I might actually say Simon and Garfunkel. I think I think they're more chill, intentionally more chill. Yeah, you know what I mean.
All right, so here's another tough one as well. It's Journey, like the 80s work, you know, not the early prog, versus Christopher Cross. And I think we're just finding ourselves in a situation where there definitely are soft rockers like Christopher Cross, but Journey is just by the venture of the catalog should probably move forward.
Yeah, well, and again, I can only think of like one or two Christopher Cross songs, but yesterday at dinner, we had put on Journey Escape to listen to, and I'm like, yep, this is some ballady nonsense right here. Yep. I mean, I'm digging it, but yep, Journey moves on. Yeah.
All right. Well, this one I'm going to leave to you, Todd, because I think you know more about the soft rock of Todd Rundgren, versus Don McLean, which is American Pie, correct?
Correct. I mean, that's the only thing I really know from Don McLean, but I imagine that's somewhat representative. I think my namesake moves forward because a fair bit of his work is pretty chill.
John Denver, Sinead O'Connor. I think Sinead O'Connor would probably win, but we're gonna have a hard time.
I think probably John Denver again has the. I mean, he's pretty chill, but he also skews a little more country,
which disqualifies.
I think that takes him out of the running. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, this one's a tough one. Bee Gees versus Bryan Adams. And I hate to say it, but I think Bryan Adams takes out the Bee Gees. Like, Bryan Adams is soft rock. Like, he is ballad. I don't know if he has – I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything he has that actually rocks.
I mean, I guess – I mean, Summer of 69 is about as close as you can get.
Yeah.
Which
that's what I was running through my head. I'm like, does that actually hit very hard at all?
But he sings also sings the Three Musketeers song, I think, along with Sting or whatever. And I mean, that's like soft rock. So
let's have him move forward.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Sarah McLachlan versus Starship. I would say McLachlan goes.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Moves forward. Yeah.
Peter Cetera versus Genesis. And to me, it's just impossible to beat Peter Cetera.
Yeah, I think because Genesis has some pretty kick-ass stuff at various points.
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't know that Peter Cetera has ever kicked ass.
No,
in my opinion.
All right, so we have the Carpenters versus Boz Scaggs, and I can't name a Boz Scaggs song, I didn't know he was soft rock.
Yeah,
yeah.
Carpenters move forward.
But then again, the Carpenters deserve to win that in general. All right, we got Phil Collins versus James Blunt.
I'm not as familiar with James Blunt, so I'm gonna leave this one to you.
James Blunt, he's pretty damn soft. Listen, this is a tough one. He does have some decent stuff. All right, so by venture of saying, all right, the thing is with the discography, like, yes, you have rock, but who is softer at their best? And I think Phil Collins is softer at his best. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's done like soundtracks for Disney films, and not to besmirch Disney, but can you get much softer than that, really?
Well,
without doing like hymnal music or whatever.
Correct. All right, James Taylor versus Dido. I go Taylor because I know more of Taylor stuff, and he's pretty damn soft. I mean, sure, I bet he can rock like but he's known for his cardigans and stuff. Come on, Steely Dan versus Harry Chapin. And that's a tough one because I could see them both. And I don't know enough about Harry Chapin. I do know Steely Dan does kind of rock out, though. They can.
What do you think?
I go with Chapin on this one just because I know Steely Dan is a little too they rock in too many ways.
They can. Yeah, that's fair.
All right, so this one will string up controversy with you because we talked a little bit the other day. It's Hall & Oates and Tracy Chapman. For some reason, I felt like you didn't feel the Hall & Oates were as soft rock as I did.
No, that's the thing. Like, I have to divorce the music that I like from whether it's soft or hard. Because generally, I tend to be more hardcore than you. Like, I don't enjoy the soft rock as much.
Sure.
So therefore, in most cases, the soft rock is not good. And normally when you're doing brackets like this, it's something that I like versus something I don't like. Obviously, the thing I like should move forward. But this is almost the opposite. And I think that was my initial, you know, hesitancy towards Hall & Oates. I like me some Hall & Oates.
Well,
don't be calling them soft, damn it. But yeah, you know, they some of their stuff's pretty chill.
I'm moving them forward. Yeah, Tracy Chapman got one call. You know, at the end of the day, if we wanted to say softest and or do you have enough hits to make this interesting in the future? That
there's a whole bunch of folks who are like, yep, I know one song and it was soft. Is that representative? I don't know. In my brain,
talk to
apparently
us in
it is.
10 years, we might be through them all for the Music Ranked project. But that's about, you know, but right now we're still kind of dealing with this. So we got Lionel Richie versus Mark Knopfler, which is the lead singer of Dire Straits. And I think this is just a really easy Lionel Richie.
Oh, that's Lionel Richie. Yeah.
Don Henley versus Ben Folds.
Don Henley for days. Yeah. Ben Folds, like I said, Ben Folds has got an interesting catalog. And of course, the Ben Folds that I enjoy most is the stuff that kind of hits kind of hard. All right. So
Foreigner versus Gordon Lightfoot. And this is so Foreigner definitely does ballad really well. But
yeah,
I think Gordon Lightfoot
think
is straight up like all he's chill. I mean, it's a folksy. Yeah, I would go Lightfoot. Sorry. Now, here's the match.
I would pay good money to hear a cover band or to hear a metal band do a cover of The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. I think that would be super badass. I would look forward to watching that video, but that's not what's happening here.
Yeah. No, not at all. All right. So I think this is the best matchup of the first round. It is Seals and Crofts versus Richard Marx.
Ooh.
And it is so tough. I think Marx moves forward by the virtue of he is a ballad guy. Like Seals and Crofts has soft songs for sure, but they're a little bit more 70s rock soft songs. So I think by virtue of it being the 80s, 90s sound of Richard Marx, that's kind of more the true testament of what this tournament's all about.
Yeah. Because I guess that also sort of highlights, I think, some of our key differences in what we think of as soft. Mm-hmm. When I think of soft, I think of, you know, low tempo, kind of quiet kind of stuff, sort of Seals and Croftsy kind of things. Whereas you seem to equate it with like love song, power balladness.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we're both right. I think in this particular matchup is where those two things come into the biggest focus. And you know what? For your sake and in the name of our father, we'll go ahead and have Richard Marx move forward.
Thank you. That's very nice. All right. Richard Marx moves forward. His photographer will be happy. Missions will be on the way. All right. Moody Blues from the 80s versus ABBA. So you gave me a win. How about I give you a win and move the Moody Blues forward?
I think it's the Moody Blues because I think ABBA is more pop than rock.
You're right. All right, here's Chicago of the 80s versus the Alan Parsons Project.
Oh, Chicago of the 80s.
Okay.
That's right up there with like Peter Cetera. How do you Chicago.
Correct. You don't. That's how it goes. Kenny Loggins versus REO Speedwagon. Which is tough. REO Speedwagon certainly can rock.
Yes.
They certainly can ballad as well. I'm trying to think of Kenny Loggins. I know some of his songs.
But is he the
Footloose guy?
Yeah, Footloose.
That's certainly not really
I'm all right from the Caddyshack thing. I think. I don't think Kenny Loggins moves forward. I think he goes to Speedwagon. Yeah. I think Speedwagon can rock.
Yeah.
But I think Loggins consistently has more up-tempo stuff.
Correct.
In my
opinion. That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah. Steve Winwood versus Jewel. Cool. I think Jewel goes through. Jewel is pretty much just, I mean, if you think of early Jewel, that's what it is.
But you say early Jewel, like I am aware of any album she had after her first one.
She got kind of poppy and she kind of
did she start
she started wearing like lip gloss and stuff and like the world attacked her. Okay. I know that's we did not want it. All right,
no, apparently not. Back into living in your car, Jewel. Stop with the lip gloss.
Pretty much
that's a sentence I never thought I'd say.
That's the truth. That's what happened. All right. So here's a really good one. I don't even know where to go with this. I really don't. It's America versus Steve Perry. And this is a battle. This is the same battle. This is Seals and Crofts versus Richard Marx.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm good with giving you America on this one, as much as it sucks to have Steve Perry go down. But let's be honest. Steve Perry's won solo.
Well, and he's also represented by Journey.
I know.
Forward. So
I think
so
we
it's
move
not
with
like
America.
Yeah, let's do that because they're chill. Right. They're very chill.
All right, here's Carole King versus Clay Aiken, and Clay Oof. Aiken was a Eric Hirsey choice because I've heard lots of his stuff, and he's probably representing the 2000s on this list along with not many.
But
I think Carole King is known for very much like somber stuff.
I mean, the only thing I think I know from Carole King, and this is if I'm even getting this person right and not confusing her with somebody else, there's that whole "I feel the earth move under my feet" song. And
well, I couldn't tell you.
And the theme for the Gilmore Girls.
Oh well, I'll tell you right now, I'm fine with moving Clay Aiken forward.
I think
because it'll
think
make a better content. Yeah,
let's do that.
All right. Sorry,
we're playing
Carol.
Kingmakers here anyway. So,
well, for the first round,
pick what
sure.
you want. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Michael McDonald versus Norah Jones. Now, you mentioned that you weren't familiar with Norah Jones.
Not as. No.
Yeah. And she is, like I say, she is Starbucks Muzak, right? That's what she.
Well,
is.
Then I think she probably has to move forward, Eric. I mean, if you're being described as Muzak in any sort, let alone Starbucks, I think.
Okay. That, well, I mean, Michael McDonald is pretty well known too. But
I'm gonna let you make this call because I'm not.
No, I'll call it Norah Jones because she definitely is what this. She is the modern day. She's probably like the 2000s. She's along with Clay Aiken in terms of modern day rock, you know, soft rock. All right, Air Supply versus Barry Manilow. And
oh my God, that one hurts.
That does, but I just know who I think is going
to
win.
Air Supply. Whenever you say soft rock, Air Supply is what pops into my head. Like to me, they are the poster children of soft rock. So they have to move forward.
And that's my opinion too.
I mean, if you asked me who was the next one, Barry Manilow's name would probably come up, but I still think Air Supply takes that crown.
Yeah, Air Supply is kind of like, and it is kind of the hybrid between the ballad. It's almost a hybrid between what we're having the problem with, right? Because they are exactly both.
Yeah.
All right, so Joni Mitchell versus Cat Stevens for the final in the first match.
I think I'm going to go Cat Stevens because I find him to be slightly more rock and our girl to be slightly more folk, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but
I've
been wrong
whatsoever.
Plenty of times on this podcast, and the Saskatchewan still hang with me, so I'm going.
That's it. That's you're correct. All right, so we have broken down the 32. All right, we in a sense, yes, it started as the softest. We turned it more into, hey, can we name more of your songs? And are you softest?
Right.
We've come up with some decent, really good, I think, top 32.
Yeah.
So now
this is
when we.
This is where all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Satanic
this is
soft rock.
This is basically they've made it through the door, the gate. They said the secret password to get into the Satanic Club. And now it's just a matter of this is where they start showing their true colors. Okay. So at this point in time, we are going to see who is more likely to have subliminal messages in their music. Okay.
Fantastic.
Now, you can think of songs, so forth, but this is subliminal messages, whether their lyrics are songs are devout, completely dedicated to Satanism. Take it as you will, but this is where we go through. And the first matchup would be Paul Simon versus the Beach Boys.
Oh, I think the Beach Boys would definitely put some backwards masking shenanigans, especially because we're talking like later years. Beach Boys, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Well, they were known for it even.
Oh, yeah. Some studio fuckery. Oh, yeah. They move forward for sure.
So the same would go with Toto and Jackson Browne, right? So at this point in time, who do you – I mean, listen, somebody said Toto was about werewolves.
Oh, Africa? Oh, yeah. I sent you a thing. Yeah. There's a whole theory about how Africa is all about a werewolf trying to find a cure. And I think Toto moves forward.
That alone. I mean, we already have theories out there.
Yeah.
All right. So Bread versus Peter Gabriel. I mean, Peter Gabriel is a weird dude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel he has to win.
Have you seen the sledgehammer video? How do you know there aren't already subliminal messages in that? You don't know. Yeah.
Correct. I'm sure there are. So we have Enya versus Simon and Garfunkel. Listen, Enya. So Enya sings what? What does Enya sing? Just like one like time, Irish singer.
Do you remember back in the, it would have been late 80s, early 90s, you'd go into some malls and there was this place called Natural Wonders where they sold, you know, various rocks and science kits. Uh-huh. Enya is the music that they play there in between playing the sounds of the tropical rainforest.
Right? Yeah, I just feel like Enya would have, like, the ability to do a lot of subliminal messages and like summon,
highly textured soundscapes that you can just slip that stuff in. Yeah, Enya moves forward.
Sorry, Simon and Garfunkel, but that's
All they could do is maybe slip something in that one with the old men talking.
Oh, and hope for the best. I think that is all subliminal messaging there. God.
Yeah, all but right. I don't think it moves forward the cause of Satan. Whereas I think that's where Enya is.
I think Enya is. Enya definitely could represent Satan well. So we have Journey and Todd Rundgren. And I just feel like this is where, like, it might be called an upset, but I feel like Todd Rundgren would be the one.
I you know, this is going to have one of those Wikipedia citation needed, you know, superscripts next to it. But I think Todd Rundgren may have actually done subliminal messaging somewhere in his stuff. I remember when I was listening to that, you know, the whole Hell's Bells, Rock and Roll is the Devil's Music cassette tapes.
Sure.
Todd Rundgren came up.
Good. Well, then he
has a single called Tiny Demons.
Oh, good.
So yeah, he's moving forward. Yeah.
All right. That's Sinead O'Connor versus Bryan Adams.
I mean, Sinead O'Connor is famous for tearing up pictures of the Pope on SNL. I feel like she's got some reason to, you know, strike out against at least a branch of Christianity.
And I think she wins there.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a tough one because it's Sarah McLachlan versus Peter Cetera. I mean, neither one really come off as like, hey, we're going to put backward masking or like any type of thing. I mean, the dog video. But
I think Sarah McLachlan is a little too warm and fuzzy for her fellow creatures to really commit to the satanic majesties that we're requiring of her. And I think Peter Cetera moves forward.
Yeah, I agree. So now we have the Carpenters versus Phil Collins. And here's the deal. Phil Collins did a cover of Tomorrow Never Knows, which is equally trippy in a weird, like, fantasy type way. Have you heard that one?
I don't know that I have.
I mean, there's no doubt that there could be some subliminal messages in there. Not to mention the animators of Disney cartoons often throw in some subliminal messages.
Oh, yeah.
Which he might not.
It was what, Jungle Book he did?
No. He did Tarzan. Tarzan and brother.
I knew
Tarzan
some
and
sort
brother
of,
bear.
Some sort and, of dude in a jungle situation. Listen.
Well, you're close. Yeah, you're good. I just feel like Collins would probably be better suited for this. Yeah. Which, man, that's going to be a monster matchup with Collins versus Cetera. Just playing it forward. Yeah. Stay with us, guys. Yeah. All right, we have James Taylor versus Harry Chapin. For Veg, just because I think Taylor wins.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Chapin should. I mean, I think there's one song of his that I know, and I don't think that one song should carry you forward to that level.
Yeah. All right. So this one is a tough one. It is Hall & Oates versus Lionel Richie.
Oh, battle of the 80s shenanigans. Yeah.
Subliminal messages. Like, I mean,
I feel like that's a Hall & Oates jam.
I kind of
in
agree.
My opinion. I've got no good basis for that. I've just got this gut feeling that if anybody was gonna slide some nonsense in there.
I think it'd be really noticeable with Lionel Richie if he tried to do anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I agree.
All right. Don Henley versus Gordon Lightfoot.
Don Henley. Because Don Henley was a former Eagle, right? And they do that stuff backwards. Whether intentional or not could be argued, but there is definitely some shenanigans going on there.
All right,
and for all we know, he was the mastermind.
All right. So right now, it's Richard Marx versus the Moody Blues. And at this point in time, have you heard any of the Moody Blues?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate to say it, Richard, you know.
Yeah.
Your journey ends here. Because yes. I think the Moody Blues win with the subliminal messages.
Correct. I think the more sort of prog rock or semi-prog rock you are, the more opportunity you have for subliminalness. And correct. I think that's where Moody Blues takes the lead.
Correct. All right. So this one is a tough one, but I have reference material. It's Chicago versus REO Speedwagon.
Ooh. Now,
in the movie Little Nicky, Little Nicky indeed grabs a Chicago album and plays it backwards on a record player, and they do have subliminal messages in Chicago's record. So I think
that's based in fact. Yeah.
It's based in. All right, Jewel.
I mean, I think this is probably the first time anyone has used "based in fact" in conjunction with an Adam Sandler film, if memory serves. Yeah,
correct.
That's possibly a first, but I'll allow it.
Well, it's how we move on. All right, so we have Jewel and America, which is really difficult. I do not really know. America just seems kind of wholesome.
They do.
Jewel kind of went to the lip gloss, so she might have.
Yeah,
there might have been something going on.
She's been
on
corrupted
there.
At some point, so
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Let's give it to Jewel.
Yeah.
That'll sorry,
be
America.
Interesting in future rounds, I'm sure. But yeah, let's go
right.
with Jewel.
Clay Aiken and Norah Jones. All right, so
that is all you. I defer to you on this one.
Listen, I think the fact is, if it's Muzak for Starbucks, you can throw in a couple Hail Satans in a nice little tune, and like no one will notice, right?
Yeah.
So I think Norah Jones moves forward.
Okay.
Air Supply and Cat Stevens.
I'm gonna go Air Supply just because.
I'll go with them too. I mean, there's no good basis on it, but I mean, like, Air Supply definitely.
Here's the thing, Eric. Cat Stevens, I mean, technically, we probably shouldn't even be calling him Cat Stevens because he converted to Islam, and I don't remember what his new name is, and that's
Yusuf.
The only reason. Yes.
Yusuf something.
So I feel like if you're going to convert to some religion that has an actual God, you probably aren't serving Satan. So therefore, I think he goes to Air Supply. Plus,
right.
it keeps Air Supply in the competition, which, let's face it, that's what we all wanted anyway.
And
but
we already
we
had
just
big knock. Yeah. We knocked out a lot of people this round that might have wanted to see move forward because it's becoming more of an Eric Kersey playlist.
I think we all knew that was going to happen anyway. But
well, I mean, actually, I was going to say the top 64 is an Eric Kersey playlist. All right. Now we get nitty gritty. So after did your subliminal messages, now we're dealing with live animal sacrifices during your show. Now that could be biting the head off a bat like Ozzy once did, or you know, finding a sheep or a goat or doing what you need to. So we are back at the top again with the Beach Boys versus Toto.
I feel like
good
the Beach
vibration
Boys are too mellow to be killing things.
Correct. I think Toto. I look at their album covers and stuff. It looks kind of like Never Ending Story
on it, right?
Yeah. I just think Toto is the winner of that, which is fine.
For all we know, they were named because of their first sacrifice of a small dog. For all we know, Eric.
For all we know, you're right. All right, so this next one is tough because I know Peter Gabriel, at least from the Genesis days, was kind of crazy and like they were known for like stage shows and stuff.
Yeah.
But hear me out, all right? Hear me out with Enya. Enya.
Okay.
I think Enya would do it like it would be like a peaceful, beautiful, like it would almost be part of and like almost accepted, right?
It'd be less of a satanic situation, more of a druidic offering to nature sort of a thing. Like, she wouldn't bite the head off a bat. She would, you know, split open a dove or something. I can see that, Eric.
Listen. and what we're going for, we're not saying how, like, part of this act would be, you know, doing it undercover. I really think Enya could pull it off without more backlash. She could probably do it every goddamn show. And people are like, oh, that was beautiful. That dove just bursting into thin air. Like,
No.
So to me, I'm going to argue that Enya moves forward. But that is just me. I will hear you out if you think Peter Gabriel would do some crazy ass shit.
I like the idea of Enya. And I'm also going to take this opportunity just to let the Toddcast listeners know that Eric and I do not advocate the willing destruction of animals for any sort of ritual or entertainment purposes. This is all for, you know, mental games.
Yeah, please. And the thing is, Todd, tape that clip and just play it at the beginning of every Toddcast.
Yeah, that's true. Please, we should put that in the intro.
Yeah.
Don't try this all right. at home.
All right, so it's Todd Rundgren versus Sinead O'Connor, and I think we kind of move with the same Enyo situation, but Sinead O'Connor just does it because she's crazy.
I can go with that. I can go with that. Yeah.
Are you fine with that? I mean, I don't know of Todd Rundgren seeming like the type that would want to kill an animal. Whatever.
Doesn't strike me as that, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so I thought this matchup would be great in terms of, like, if it was soft rock, Peter Cetera versus Phil Collins, but now we're talking animal sacrifice, and I really just don't know where to go with this.
Oh, geez. Christ. That is tricky. For that particular criteria, that's a weird game breaker right there.
All right, I don't think Collins would be able to do it to risk his Disney deal. No. So I think Peter Cetera doesn't have much, like, he's... All right, so here, listen, Peter Cetera fans out there, listen, I love the guy's music. I'm all about it, right? Okay. We've been yelled at, we've been kind of criticized once before on the Toddcast. One of the comments come in is because we were trash talking Peter Cetera.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the dude sold out to become a soft rocker. Like, he would sell out and be like, yeah, you're going to give me more money. Oh, whatever. Like, I will gladly sacrifice this goat. So I think that's where I go with that.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I would agree.
All right.
I feel like Collins has too much to lose.
Yeah, all right. James Taylor versus Hall & Oates. And as we get down further, it just becomes more difficult to really even picture this.
Oh, really? Because I feel like Hall & Oates is a hands-down sacrificial winner situation. I
mean, okay.
Can I
they just seem like
that? No.
Okay.
I feel like saying, you know, they have a song called Maneater, but that doesn't have anything to do with killing animals.
That's fine. But
I feel like
that...
it's indicative of the tone and the general feeling of potential destruction.
Correct. All right. Don Henley versus Moody Blues.
I feel like that goes to Don Henley just because he might accidentally kill some animals in some sort of drug-fueled haze back in the day. And I don't even know if he had a drug problem. That's just how I'm putting it out there.
All right. Well, I get it. But the Moody Blues could very well do some, like, nighttime ritual, right?
Okay.
Like, I could see them making it part of their act of, like, they're going to do Days of Future Past. I don't know, man. This is just a real tough one. All right. Don Henley with the drugs. He moves forward.
Oh,
all right. And then we have Chicago versus Jewel.
I mean, we don't know what Jewel had to do to survive living in her car.
That's what I'm thinking. I hate to say it. I mean, I think Jewel wins this.
She's the dark horse that's just climbing through the ranks here. Who knew?
Correct. And it's all right. We got Air Supply versus Nora Jones. I just see Air Supply. I mean,
they're
making it happen.
They existed in the kind of rock and roll era where, you know, people were biting heads off bats. Like, that was their peers. I mean, they do it softer, gentler sort of destruction. But I think. I don't think you sacrifice animals and play in Starbucks. I feel like that's a health code violation.
Yeah, no, I think Nora Jones, yes. I think Nora Jones is more probably be an advocate of that stuff.
Yeah,
so I think, all right.
Yeah.
So, Todd, we're moving along. We're doing pretty well. This next one is this is key, the word successful, okay? Successfully
okay.
perform black magic, all right?
Okay.
This is, that is
actual
key.
Some ritual shenanigans that actually produce supernatural results, gotcha.
Yeah, which makes this next battle, I think, a little bit easier to think of. It is Toto versus Enya.
Oh, Enya. Enya is a sorceress of some sort, clearly.
Absolutely. Well, all right. And then we have Sinead O'Connor versus Peter Cetera. Hear me out.
Okay.
All right, hear me out.
Okay.
Peter Cetera will do whatever it takes. All right?
I mean, I think you're right.
He will do whatever it takes. I think the man, I mean, and he's been successful. Don't get me wrong. He has been successful.
Oh, yeah.
I think he moves past Sinead O'Connor, who is more of like a shocker, you know, like I think Cetera moves forward. Okay.
I would agree with that.
And now we're down to Hall & Oates versus Don Henley in black magic.
Hall & Oates all day long. It's a duo. They can share responsibilities for setting up the candles and casting the runes.
I
think Hall & Oates.
I feel like they would be fine in like robes, like the you know, as druids. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they would probably do really good singing Rich Girl that way, you know, like,
oh yeah.
All right, we got Jewel versus Air Supply, and this is a tough one.
For actual magic, what do you think? That's a tough one. I could almost see it going either way.
I do too. I mean, all I do, I picture Air Supply being like, they're not that clean, you know. All their albums and stuff, they're wearing these white pants and bright shirts, but they're kind of like it's a fake smile. I do. I feel
you think
like
it's you think it's a cover, like it like oh protested too much. In the looking all pristine. Now I can go with that.
Yeah, I mean that's just my thoughts. I agree. You know, well, not only does that make a hell of a Final Four.
I mean, yeah, if Air Supply doesn't make it in the Final Four, there's something wrong with the bracket.
Oh well, let's hear that. All right, this is the Final Four. We have Enya, Peter Cetera, Hall & Oates, and Air Supply. All right.
It could this not be soft... any better than that, really.
I mean, this is really good. All right. So this is where it's going to get tough, Todd, because I'm going to have to really rely on you here because I'm still a novice.
Okay.
All right. There's really only one last thing that is more Satanistic than anything we've talked about so far. Okay. And that's playing D&D, Todd. So at the end of the day, they've worked their way up with subliminal messages, you know, sacrificing animals, and now they perform black magic. Now they need to join your D&D party. So this is the best addition to a D&D party. So you kind of paint the picture. I don't know who you're playing with here. Just picture your best D&D gathering of all time, the greatest games and so forth. Yes. And if you're going to pick between Enya and Cetera, who are you bringing in?
I feel like Enya would play a druid or a sorcerer or perhaps a warlock or something that would have some connection to a supernatural whatever. Whereas somehow I just feel like Peter Cetera would just be the stereotypical horny bard. So I think that goes to Enya.
Perfect. I agree with you. Listen, I had no idea Enya would be taking it this far.
I had no idea either.
The solitary song I know of hers.
Yeah,
only
it's
because
quite the upset.
They used to play 90s music. She's now in the finals. Now, here's the deal. This is a tough one, Todd, because I mean, it's Hall & Oates and Air Supply. Either way, you're bringing two guys in.
Yeah.
And this is a D&D battle here, and I'm fine with either one.
Oh, man. I feel like this show's bias, but I think it's Hall & Oates.
Well,
there's just something about that seems like it would be a good dynamic duo to have in your party that would do well.
I agree
feel
with
like,
you there.
I feel like Air Supply in a dungeon scenario would be a little too wishy-washy. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. So, they'd just say, well, we're going to go in this corner and we're just going to sing.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas I feel, I feel like Hall & Oates would at least put up a
They'll make fight. It. You're yeah. right. They'll make it. All right. And then, so at the end of the day, Todd, at the end of the day, we are in the finals and it is the choice of Satan. He is now selecting who will be his right hand. You will sit at the right hand of Satan, and it is now Enya and Hall & Oates. And that is the criteria. Who indeed?
Oh snap!
Is the winner of the Soft Rock tournament and will sit aside Satan?
What are your initial thoughts?
I guess at the end of the day, Satan could have two chairs, but ultimately through this battle, I have a feeling that Enya has really won. She's obviously the softer and moved forward without question. Let's look at her journey here. She beat Doobie Brothers, which by far is the better band, right?
Right.
All right. She beat Simon and Garfunkel for subliminal messages. All right.
Yeah.
She beat Peter Gabriel for animal sacrifice, and he's a weirdo, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
She beat Black Magic with Toto, who is known for, I mean, the song, you know, Africa is about werewolves, for Christ's sake.
Right.
She beat Peter Cetera in a D&D, and we know Peter Cetera will do anything to win. At this point in time, she has damn earned her right to sit next to Satan and play Irish jig music for him for eternity.
I think because she's just been bucking the rules all the way by becoming Satan's right-hand man. She's bucked the patriarchy. And I think Enya takes the crown.
Enya, the most satanic soft rock performer. I mean, really, of all time. So
yeah, no, that's legendary right there.
Well, I would have not guessed this. I bet it broke a lot of goddamn brackets.
Oh, probably pretty early on, I would think. Yeah, when we started on this journey, Eric, I did not expect Enya to take it all. And here we are.
And here we are with Enya defeating, I mean, beating Hall & Oates. That is a hell of an accomplishment.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's fantastic.
We have done it, Todd. We have done it. We have solved the world's problems here in March. We did not talk really basketball whatsoever, but, you know, hopefully when they crown the champion in early April for March Madness, they'll play only Plays time.
That's right. And I think that will be fitting. Excellent. Thank you, Eric, for this delightful bracket, this awesome March Madness in all its satanic glory. Thank you, listeners, for hanging in there with us through all of the glorious evils. And until next time, I hope y'all have a good one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Toddcast Podcast.
If you have comments, questions, or topic ideas you'd like us to chat about, you can reach out on social.
Search for Toddcast Podcast.
Visit our website at toddcastpodcast.com with a single D in Todd.
There you will find show notes, original articles, and a backlog of episodes.
If you'd enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share with your like-minded friends.
Perhaps you would consider subscribing, following, or marking this podcast as a favorite if you've not yet done so.
And of course, reviews and ratings on Apple Podcasts are appreciated.
Thanks again for listening to the Toddcast.